And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Scott Spears back with you here on this very eventful Wednesday, January the 11th, 2017. 1:12. Boy, oh boy. I tell you, this cold must be knocking me out this week. 1:12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, coming up on 1:13. This hour, we are to be joined by legendary talk show host, conservative talk show host, really the father of the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys, Barry Farber, to get his take on what's going on in the world. Try to keep that even keel going here on the show, conservatives and liberals. Although it's not liberal anymore, it's progressive. Conservative and progressives. Certainly a very interesting day with the Trump press conference and everything going on, and President Obama's final speech last night. I think CNN's got a special on tonight called The Messy Truth. Just a very interesting world we live in, to say the very least. If anybody has any questions or comments, please give me a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call and we'll get you up on the air if my voice holds up that long. Again, I do want to let you know, we are on Twitter now. Just go to Twitter and search at WWGH Radio. We also have a website, WWGH1071.com. You can go there and listen to any show since the beginning of 2016, thanks to our webmaster, Adam Lepp. WWGH1071.com. We also stream live there. We are also free on any mobile device, streaming live on the free app TuneIn. So just go to the App Store on your mobile device and download the TuneIn app, which is absolutely free, and you can listen to us anywhere, or go to Facebook, WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, and click like, and you'll get exclusive information on who's coming up on tomorrow's show and what's going to be on, and pictures and all kinds of stuff on Facebook. We also are obtainable by email. My email, scott@wwgh1071.com. Or if you want to email anybody else, from Adam to Terry to Sean to Charlie, just put their first name in there at wwgh1071.com. And that's how you stay in touch. Again, phone lines are open if you have an opinion on anything, 740-383-9944. But we are going to take a very quick break here and see if we can get with Barry Farber. Stay tuned. It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these: the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors. Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
This is Marianne Michaels, and you can catch my friend Scott Spears Monday through Friday right here on WWGH 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Entertaining interviews with celebrities and local topics every day.
Live 12:10 to 2 p.m.
Hello, this is Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and you know, Charlie Evers is a Marion, and you can catch him right here on WWGH 107.1 FM and streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Charlie also takes your calls on anything under the sun by calling this number, 740-383-9944. Speedy delivery.
The Fayey Bank Charlie Evers Show every Wednesday and Thursday, 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon, and Friday, 1:10 p.m. till 3 p.m. on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here, 18 minutes past the hour, waiting for Barry Farber to join us. So we're going to open up the phone lines to you, because today I have a cold, and it is just not going away quite yet. 740-383-9944, that's 740-383-9944. Give us a ring, and we will put you up on the air, and you can discuss whatever you would like to discuss under the sun. Do you believe the report that came out yesterday, not necessarily an intelligence report, apparently just a report that was tagged as an appendix to an intelligence report that says Donald Trump had people who were dealing with the Russian government during the election, and also says that the Russian government has a file on Donald Trump that is not favorable to him, let's say. Could be used as blackmail. That report also said that Vladimir Putin had a fear of Hillary Clinton. Wonder what that is derived from. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. A lot of interesting questions. And hopefully Barry Farber will be joining us momentarily. It's always a lot of fun to talk with Barry. He really is the father of the conservative talk show. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and all people of that nature really owe him a great debt of gratitude, because he was the guy who really got that ball rolling, as they say, and it has rolled very well for a very long time at this point. So hopefully Barry will be with us very shortly, and he can give us his slant on how things go. And maybe we can even talk a little bit about this liberal bias in the media that allegedly exists, and also a conservative bias that a lot of people feel exists. Let's see. Oh, we might have some communication here from Barry, so I tell you what, I'm going to step out very quickly once again back in, hopefully with Barry Farber momentarily. Don't go anywhere.
This is Scott Spears inviting you to join me and broadcasting legends Marianne Michaels and Charlie Evers every Friday from 12:10 to 1 p.m. right here on Radio 107.1 FM for Over Coffee. It's a program roundtable discussion in which we discuss politics, music, entertainment news, books, Broadway, history, and anything that's on your mind. And all you have to do is call 740-383-9944 to get in on the conversation. We'll also be giving away a $10 gift card to Kroger each and every Friday when a trivia question is asked. So if you have the answer, call 740-383-9944, and the gift card to Kroger is yours. And just when you thought there couldn't be any more, if you come to the WWGH studios located in the Marion Center Mall across from the PNC Bank, you can have donuts, coffee, and orange juice provided by Kroger. Just stop in Friday from 12 to 1 p.m. It's Over Coffee with Scott Spears, Marianne Michaels, and Charlie Evers every Friday from 12:10 to 1 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Don't miss it.
Okay, Scott Spears back with you here, 22 minutes past the hour. Still hoping to catch up with Barry Farber. I think we might have made a little communication there, and hopefully he'll be with us momentarily. But, you know, these confirmation hearings, I think it's quite interesting that they're being covered on television as they are, and there's such an interest in them. So many people of a certain age just seem to pass by and not pay close attention to what's going on in the world. And one thing this whole Donald Trump presidency has done is make people pay attention. There are more people watching these confirmation hearings, watching these debates, watching press conferences than I think ever before. So I guess, in a way, this has been very influential for so many people. And we certainly thank them for that. Certainly quite a bit. And as we continue on with the program today, we're so glad to be joined by a gentleman who we have had on in the past. He's always a pleasure. Always interested to get his opinion, because really, people like Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and really everybody in radio took their lead from this man dating back to the 1960s. He is the father of conservative radio talk show hosts, one of the most interesting guys. I was lucky enough to appear on his show, I believe, about a year ago. It was one big thrill for me. Barry Farber. Barry, how are you?
Hello?
Yes, is Barry there?
Hello?
Yes, Barry, how are you?
I am fine. Are we live on the air?
We are live already.
Well, let me apologize. We were sitting here waiting. We did not hear a ring. So we decided to take a proactive stance, and we are now finally together, for which I'm grateful. It's not too late to wish you a happy new year.
Yeah, you as well, Barry. Yeah, I did not have the number. I guess we got our wires crossed there, but that happens in radio.
Well, here we are, and I'm very grateful.
Yes. Barry, I want to talk to you a little bit about the start of conservative radio before we get into today's topics. Was it just your philosophy? What made you go on the air and decide to express your opinions?
Well, you couldn't ask a more interesting question at a better time. I've just written an article, not published yet. I'm going to send it to Talkers Magazine, and I think there's a high chance they will run it. Everybody introduces me as having pioneered talk radio, invented talk radio as we know it. I did not. There's a very interesting story as to how talk radio did get started. But I didn't start it. There were giants when I started in 1960, Tex McCrary, Barry Gray. But if you give me credit for starting conservative talk radio, you're not going to get much back talk. I simply was a conservative. I'm not even sure we called ourselves conservative at that time. But I had a lot of experience with communist countries in Eastern Europe. So if you had asked me what I was, I wouldn't say at that time that I was a conservative. I'd say I'm an anti-communist, and I want more Americans to learn the difference between freedom, which we take for granted, and country. All we know is it's big and it's threatening. We don't know anything else about it, and we should. Just one little for instance. Here's Moscow with 8 million people. Under communism, they didn't have a telephone book. If you wanted somebody's number, you had to go down to the central office in Moscow and fill out a form and explain whose number you wanted and why you wanted it. Now, I don't think Americans would like to live like this, but that's the way millions and millions of people lived in the Soviet Union and China. So that was like my theme, and I guess for that reason they called me a conservative. Hence the so-called pioneer of conservative talk radio. You're the first person who ever asked me about that, so I salute you.
Well, thank you so much. It's very interesting because the thought always was that we didn't give opinions on the air because we didn't want to alienate the other side. We wanted to get them on as well. Was there ever any problem with that?
Was there ever a problem? No, not. Let me know who it is we're focusing in on now. Who might have caused the problem?
Well, if for example, if you come out as a conservative-leaning talk show host, a lot of time liberal candidates and people will not come on.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, exactly. It's worse now than ever before. We've always had people who say, if Roosevelt wins again, I'm going to leave the country. If Eisenhower wins, I'm going to leave the country. I have no knowledge of anybody ever leaving the country. But the bitterness now, particularly with Trump's victory, is ugly. I've never seen anything like it. I don't like it. I don't think it's healthy for America. And I'm very apprehensive. Very apprehensive about the next few days approaching the inauguration. I'm a little nervous. I don't think I've ever seen a gang up, an opposition, as serious and relentless an attempt to destabilize and delegitimize a man who won the election. Everybody admits fair and square, but a lot of people don't like it. And they're in an ugly mood, very ugly mood.
What do you foresee happening in the next few days? And
I am an optimist, and when you see all the things that are going on with no consequences, I was terrified all through the New Year celebration. 2 million people in Times Square. Holy mackerel! What an opportunity for a terrorist, particularly now that we have terrorists who don't mind giving their own lives as long as they can kill us. The presumption until lately was that people, even murderers, wanted to live. Today we have an enemy who doesn't mind dying. This is a terribly frightening situation to be in. I am scared, but I'm not destabilized. I'm not changing my life. And I think that whatever danger comes along, I guess I was just raised with too many happy fairy tales. I cannot see anything that bad happening. A few demonstrations, a few fights. I don't see anything that's going to impede the almost flawless, definitely peaceful transition from President Obama to President Trump. I'm going way out on a limb there, way out on a limb. I could be very, very wrong, but I'm sorry. That's my feeling. By the way, the best thing Abraham Lincoln ever said is, I will say what I believe today, though it may contradict everything I said yesterday.
So, I'm with you on that.
My opinion. Yeah. That is my opinion. I don't anticipate any major disruption. I anticipate some attempts. See, these things mean nothing unless they cause an uprising. Nothing the terrorists have done have ever come near causing the majority of Americans to turn against America. We are not buying their act. We are not surrendering to their command. We're in a war. We don't know it yet, but I like to think we're winning it. I think the terrorists have a lot more to be upset about now than we do. One life lost to terrorism is too much, but look how many lives we've lost in the past century merely defending our American way of life.
You know, Barry, I don't think we've talked since the election. What did you make of election night and the fallout ever since?
Well, forgive me for awarding myself a prognosticator's award, a predictor's award, because I predicted Donald Trump was going to win the day he announced in June of 2015. I just felt it. I have it down now to 5 words. It'll fit on a bumper sticker. Trump exudes what America craves. Think of that for a second. Trump exudes what America craves. Everything that he does and says and the way he says it is so ridiculing of the old way, the way that didn't work, the status quo. And what he says just delights people. So I was not surprised that he won. I'm surprised that so many people have come around to his side. So few people are part of... Look, there's always a stump of resistance. Are you aware how many Confederate soldiers went to Cuba and even to Brazil after the North won the Civil War in vain hopes of building a force and reinvading the states and taking over? There's always a group of soreheads who will fight to the death. I don't anticipate that here. I expected greater attempts to deny Trump somehow the victory. How? I don't know. I'm not in the business of stealing elections and exiling the rightful winner. That's just not the kind of country we were raised in. I predict a peaceful transition.
What do you make of Hillary Clinton winning the popular vote?
Oh, that, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. And if I were to hear that said by a stranger on the street, I would spin around, I'd grab him by the collar, and I'd shake him, and I'd say, sir, forgive me, you have just shown you don't know the first thing about America. You may know the second thing. You may know the third thing. You may know the 33rd thing. But I'm not going to release you until I teach you the first thing about America. Study the name of this country, United States. Do you know what a state is? A state is a country. In every other language I've heard, I know or know of, the word for state means country. And when the United States formed, there were 13 different countries. We are now 50 different countries. And in order to have a federation like that, you've got to have an electoral college or some logical substitute so that the little states don't get washed away. The popular vote in New York, Illinois, and California can overwhelm the rest of the nation. And the rest of the nation is made up of countries, we call them states, made up of countries that just don't want to be washed away. So they have equal representation in a body called the Senate, and proportional representation, according to the state's population, in a body called the House of Representatives. So if the popular vote had, by the way, what kind of sport do you have to be to complain after the election that Trump didn't win the popular vote? The time to change the Constitution is when there's no election coming up. And believe me, it's a mighty stiff mountain to climb. But we have a system that works very well. If the objective had been the popular vote, Trump would have spent more time in New York, more time in California, more time in Illinois. And I think right then and there, he would have won the popular vote. And if you deduct the illegals who shouldn't have voted anyhow, I think he'd have been way ahead in the popular vote.
Well, I guess the question, I mean, I wasn't inferring that we get rid of the Electoral College. I was just saying, does that surprise you that more physical people voted for her than for him?
No, not surprised at all. Left, the left wing, the far left in New York and California, if they had power failures in those states at night, nobody would notice. Those left wingers glow in the dark. They are so active and so evident that there's no denying their presence. And that's exactly why we have an electoral college. Do you want two states running all 50? I don't, and I don't think the people of New Hampshire do, and I don't think the people of Iowa do. We want to stay one country.
Right, but
if you are of the California brand of left-wing politics, or the New York brand of left-wing politics, or the Illinois brand of left-wing politics, you don't like that. You don't like that at all. You say, we've got the numbers, so we want to run things. Sorry, you're in the wrong place for that. We have an electoral college system in order to prevent two or three states from running the whole show. It's working well.
Well, Barry, I guess my question off of that would be, if Illinois and New York and California do have such strong left-wing politics, then how would Trump spending more time in those states have turned those left-wingers, as you called them, into Trump voters?
Now, I'll answer a question you haven't asked. The popular vote thing came up in 2000 with Gore versus Bush. And it was quickly extinguished when somebody wiser than I am politically said, look, Bush won the Electoral College. If the objective had been to win the popular vote, he would have spent five more days campaigning in Texas. That's all. No, but Trump would not have won New York, California, or Illinois, but he would have gotten a lot more votes, a lot more popular votes, if he had campaigned there. He wouldn't have come close, but he would have had enough so that when you put that together with his popular vote in the rest of the country, it would silence that lame argument. It's a lame argument to begin with. The objective is not the popular vote. It's the Electoral College. Well, that should be enough for me to say, but apparently it's not. Questions still arise.
Well, no, I think the question is, it's not, at least I haven't heard anybody say that Hillary should be the winner because she got the popular vote. It's just that even when it's brought up, even when you say, what do you make of it? Because there is a division in this country, as we started out talking, and I think that's one of the reasons why. Even when you bring it up, my question was, what do you make of that? That's all it was. It wasn't, should we change it? Does it hurt Trump? Nothing like that. But people get very defensive, even when you bring it up. And I think that's part of the division.
Haven't you heard people say Hillary is a legitimate winner because she won the popular vote? I sure hear that here in New York. It's beginning to fade, and I predict it will fade because so many people who wanted Hillary are willing to accept Trump. They've given up their hatred. Many have even begun to admire him. We are poised for a great presidency. The status quo, the country was just not going in the right direction. Nobody to say that about Obama, because nobody wants to be accused of being a racist, which is usually the next thing that's said when anybody points the bony finger of indignation at Obama and his administration. And that's my vision. I've looked at a lot of elections in my life. I remember my mother taking me in a baby carriage when she went to vote for Franklin Delano Roosevelt the first time in 1932. And I think that we we're approaching a stage where if it's not You just give me an idea. If Trump fails, I'm going to blame it on Obama. I'm going to take a page out of the left-wing handbook. They're blaming Trump now for everything. If Trump is a colossal failure and sets this country back, I'm going to say it was the arrogance, the stupidity, the ineffectiveness of the Obama administration that made people recoil all the way to the other extreme and give us Donald Trump. If the Obama administration had been a little more normal, a little less arrogant, a little less willing to run by executive order, a little more respectful of the opinions of the people, then Trump would never have been elected. People were driven by anger at the status quo. I think that's not arguable. I think that's I think that's a given. But you're free to challenge it.
No, that's a fine opinion. And the interesting thing is today, of course, the big story is that CNN last night broke the news of a story that was, well, we do know now because of the CIA that the elections were hacked into. Hillary's emails, the DNC's emails were hacked into, the RNC's were hacked into, but they were not released. Last night, we learned a little more that possibly the intelligence community believes that Russia has a file on Donald Trump that they are using to blackmail him, and also that he has... People in his campaign were talking to people with Russia during the election. Now, none of this has been verified yet, so we're not going to talk about what's in the report, but it has also not been disproven. And when the director of the FBI was asked about it yesterday, he said he couldn't confirm or deny it. So, where do we stand with that?
Well, down south, we would say they're hanging out the red lights and they ain't got no girls inside. You yourself put it very, very fairly. By the way, have you been complimented for your fairness by anybody else? I hope I'm not the first. You're very fair and very balanced. I'm not accusing you of being Fox News, but you are fair and you are balanced. I can tell by the way you phrase your questions. I think where we stand... Just like you said, nobody says Hillary should be the president. I wish that were a little more true in places like New York and especially California. But I think by and large, speaking for the nation there, I think you're right. But we are also saying, we're hearing people say nobody alleges that the election result was changed by the Russian hacking. So I think no matter how this thing spins out, I don't think we're in for a constitutional crisis where people say, good God almighty, a 16-year-old boy in what used to be Yugoslavia can influence major nationwide elections in America. I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm an optimist, and why won't they tell us what's in these reports? We know all about the WikiLeaks. We know all about what the DNC was emailing. I'm a Trump voter, but I don't think it's fair. I say equal time to expose, equal opportunity to see what the other guy's saying. What could the Republicans have been saying so bad? They're trying to run a campaign. I'm sure they're talking about what it looks like in Michigan, and is there any hope for Wisconsin? Stuff like that. What else do you have any notion? You're a better reporter than I am. You get around more than I do now. What do you see as the caption under the national picture today?
My guess would be, because they did hack the DNC and the RNC, And the emails were not criminal that came out of the DNC. They were things like CNN, Donna Brazile got the questions early and she gave it to Hillary Clinton. Now, my guess is what was in the Republican emails, because we got to go back to that time that the election was going on. And I imagine there was a lot of talk about the Trump video, the Access Hollywood video, the day it came out, and should we get rid of him? I imagine there was talk about when Melania's speech resembled Michelle Obama's speech, when Ted Cruz came down at the Republican convention, of which I was at, and said, vote your conscience. Things of that nature, the debates. I think there were probably negative things about Trump in those emails, because the RNC is not Donald Trump. The RNC is a gigantic group that also wants to win congressional elections, and they also want to win Senate elections. And there was a time, if you remember, after that Access Hollywood video, that Trump was supposed to appear in Wisconsin with Paul Ryan and Scott Walker, and they told him not to come. So I can imagine there are some negative things in those emails.
All right, but look at the reality on the playing field. Everybody thought that Trump was going to be poison. Republicans didn't want to be photographed shaking his hand. Turns out not only was Trump not poisonous, he had coattails. He helped down-ballot Republicans win. So the question is not how close do the bullets come. The question is, does any bullet hit? What do you think could have been in the Republican traffic of those emails that would have caused eyebrows to go up, much less elections to change result?
I would guess it would probably have something to do with his praise of Vladimir Putin. There is a lot of worry about that, and also not releasing his tax returns. I don't know if they were ever emailed anywhere. I don't know if people in the Republican Party doubted his honesty on why he wasn't releasing them. I don't know. I don't know why. We haven't seen them, so I can't really honestly say. But Russia hacked those emails for a reason. And the report did say, and I'm sure you've seen part of the report, and this is a question I have for you. The report says that Putin, way at the top, his goal in the last election was to get Donald Trump elected and undermine Hillary Clinton's campaign. That was his goal. Now, we do know that. That's factual, according to the CIA. Why did Vladimir Putin, a foreign entity, have a favorite in this election?
Well, that is a good question. It would be a stronger question if there were any evidence that the Russians had harmed Hillary. Now, you may know of such evidence.
Well, I
know of any evidence.
I would just want to add,
Russians hurt Hillary in their attempt to help Trump. It may just be that Russia had a preference. Norway had a preference. You know, America is the celebrity country of the planet Earth. Everybody cares what we do. Everybody feels he has a stake in who we elect. Of course, these countries care. China cares because they have an awful lot to lose under a tough American leader who will not be pushed around in trade by military threats and all the et ceteras. So Russia has a preference, too. The question is, let's do like they do in Israel and start at the end. What is the result of whatever Russia tried to do? What is the result to the Hillary campaign? What is the result to the Trump campaign? What is the final result? Did any bullet hit? That's where I stick until I hear something more.
Well, that's the question, because the question is, there's nothing wrong with a country having a pick. There's nothing wrong with a foreign country having a presence. Everybody can, or a preference. Anybody can have an opinion. If Russia wanted Trump, that's fine. The problem is hacking into emails and then giving them to Julian Assange to release is illegal. And that is what they did in a negative aspect toward Hillary. Now, did it change voters' minds? That we don't know. But Russia did get involved. To my knowledge, no other country got involved. Other countries might have had preferences. I'm assuming Israel probably had a preference toward Donald Trump. But they didn't get involved, and they're allowed to have a preference. Russia not only had a preference, Russia got involved and released emails that were damaging to Hillary Clinton. I mean, it was a news story every day for the last 30 days of the election.
Well, I would say that those emails, if the Republicans had some protection that Hillary didn't have, then I'd be on the ramparts with a broken bourbon bottle protesting. I see too much that's too muddled here. First of all, nothing is proven except that Russia preferred Trump to Hillary. What can we grab here by the tail? There's no there. It is awfully hard to prove anything that is being alleged here. Trump is right when he says a 16-year-old boy could have done all this hacking from his basement. We've got to change our ways. Once upon a time, there was no such thing as wiretapping because there was no such thing as telephones. Telephone came along, wiretapping came along. I love what my cousin Gurney said. He said, America invented the telephone, the Russians invented the wiretap, and the Cubans invented the wrong number. But until I see evidence of attempted crime, or until I see a situation where there is no remedy, which I see right now, what is the remedy? How can we move forward as a democracy? We've just got to change our way. Watch what you send by email. Watch what you send by any device that may be overtaken and translated by somebody who wishes you ill, by an enemy. I don't see anything that can't be changed. In other words, I can see, if I were in charge of everything, I would issue a list of what may not be transmitted by any device that can be heard. It'll take more time to get messages up and down the chain, but that's better than having them intercepted. Don't you watch what you say on the telephone?
Well, I do.
Think most of us do instinctively.
Barry, let me...
Pretend you're talking into a microphone every time you hold the telephone, and you'll be okay.
Well,
I don't see anything here that can't be met and overcome.
Well, here's...
By watching what we say, how we say it, and what we say it on. Television... radio, backstage, what I mean there, of course, devices that snarl us, things, you know, are we talking on anything that might be tapped?
Well, Barry, let me go with this.
I'm talking to you. Face to face, there's very little likelihood we're going to be overheard. If I talk to you on the telephone, there is a great likelihood. Email, great likehood. But my question is, okay, I accept everything you say. What are the consequences? What can't we fix everything by modifying what we say it over?
Well, here's the interesting thing, Barry, and let me kind of tie this in here. It isn't that the RNC had better protection than the DNC. The report last week that the CIA released to President Obama and President-elect Trump said that Russia was the hacker. It was not a 16-year-old boy, that it was Russia, that it did come from the top, and that both groups were hacked. The RNC was hacked, and so was the DNC.
Okay.
But the report says that they only released the DNC emails because their objective was to elect Trump and undermine Hillary Clinton. Now, the question I have, even if we know all that, because that's the CIA report, anybody can look that up. The question is, when that report is presented to Donald Trump and presented to President Obama, and Hillary Clinton obviously knows about it now, and the CIA presents it, why does Donald Trump still put more validity in Vladimir Putin than the CIA? Because the next day after he got the report, he went out and tweeted again that a lot of people hack us. It might not have been Russia, after the CIA, FBI, and 11 agencies all said that it was Russia. Why is he inclined more to believe and side with Vladimir Putin than our own CIA?
The CIA did not give us much warning about 9/11. The CIA had no knowledge of the Hungarian Revolution. So much breathtaking stuff has happened in the world that the CIA was wrong on. They could be wrong here. They could. Don't forget, who is the boss of the CIA? Who is the ultimate boss of the CIA? I'm not talking about after the 20th of this month. I'm talking about right now. Who is the boss?
President Obama.
I think his name is Barack Obama. Cui bono, marvelous advice. Cui bono, Latin for who benefits? Who benefits from this? Certainly not the incoming Trump administration. Their objective, in spreading this around, I don't know if it's true or not, but the point is they don't know either. You yourself said, intelligence agencies said, I want to know how do they know it wasn't a 16-year-old? Because an intelligence agency said, does that satisfy you?
Well, I guess
it might, because the premise of what they said seems to fit. But that doesn't mean it's true. And if Trump were, this thing gets so muddled, if Trump were to have a love affair, a political love affair with Putin, that would not scare me, because although Putin is a tough guy, a strong man, the opposite of a Jeffersonian Democrat, but thank God he's not an Adolf Hitler, he's not a Joseph Stalin, he's not a Mao Zedong. It is perfectly all right to admire him. And you say, well, what about his grabbing of Ukraine? Do you know the ethnic composition of Ukraine? How many ethnic Russians live there? That explains, by the way, why there's so much fear in the Baltic states, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. During the days of the Soviet Union, since 1940, those countries were an integral part of the Soviet Union. They weren't possessions or communist allies or puppets. They were like South Carolina, like Virginia. Grabbing Ukraine, under the late Adolf Hitler, grabbing Austria is a prelude to grabbing Czechoslovakia, which is a prelude to attacking Poland. Do you think that the grabbing of Ukraine is going to metastasize into something else? I don't. I want Ukraine returned. I want Crimea returned to Ukraine. But the point is, Putin is not the devil that we're seeming to impute when we point the bony finger of indignation at Trump and say, oh, he's in league with Putin. This will never do. Everything must be reversed.
Barry, let me ask you this final question in the few minutes we have left here.
I'm loose. Oh, dear me.
I know. Here we go.
Maybe this is a blessing to you, but I think the power in my... I'm talking to you on a landline, but I feel the battery is disappearing in this equipment of mine.
Well, we only have 1 minute left here, so here's the final
question. 1 minute I can handle if you speak loudly.
Here we go, Barry. The question is that I'll go with the premise that you have that the CIA might not know for sure what's going on. But how does Donald Trump know for sure that it's not Putin? Why does he give him the benefit of the doubt?
All right, the CIA, right, does not know. Donald Trump is simply casting doubt on the CIA report. Look, if the CIA has the goods on Russia, and if they know that Russia has the goods, has all kind of troy ton of dirt on Donald Trump, this will soon become evident. The first time Trump mysteriously comes down in Russia's favor, when all the indications are he should oppose that and come down on America's side or on the other side issue, then I go to the ramparts with a broken bourbon bottle. Not just yet.
Barry Farber, this has been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for coming on, and I hope you do come back.
Thank you, and I'm glad my power worked almost until the very end. Thank you for your style of questioning. It's very refreshing.
Thank you, Barry. Barry Farber, and that's all we have today. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
My friends, Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and Marianne Michaels, every Friday from 12 to...